are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes and
oh, in our own words, let us adore you. Father, we adore you. We lift you high. Be God. Inhabit the praise of your people.
Thank you, Jesus.
Inhabit the praise of your people.
Yes, Lord.
For when the worship goes up,
yes, Lord,
your angels come down, yes, with a blessing.
Hallelujah.
We receive you. Inhabit our praise, yes, and our worship. May it not end here, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May our hearts follow you,
yes, Lord,
through worship.
Hallelujah.
And create a habitation that you will feel comfortable in. Welcome, Holy Spirit,
Jesus,
with all the angels,
yes,
that help the work.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody's been blessed.
Amen.
I said, somebody's just been blessed.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Please be seated. In the presence of the Lord.
Jesus.
Wow. You know, last Friday we were in a prayer meeting, Psalm 132 was such a blessing to me. From verse number, I think 13 through 15, Psalm 132 was such a blessing. It says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. Zion is where God dwells. He has desired it for his habitation. Zion is like the church. All right? The Lord has chosen. It is his choice. God has chosen our church to settle in because it is his desire. Now, the modern day Zion is our hearts. Bible says our hearts are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, for that reason, if you want God to choose your heart, you choose worship. Because Bible says in Psalm 27, 22, I believe, verse 7 or verse 3, that God inhabits the praise of Israel, his people. So the Lord chooses that heart, you know, to inhabit the praise. And then inhabits it. Then verse 14 of Psalm 132 says some powerful things, but I like verse 15. Psalm 132, so God, when God chooses a habitation, Zion, please, come on, girl. And he said, verse 14. This is my resting place forever. May God choose you as his resting place. May God find a resting place in your heart.
Amen.
And in this church.
Yes.
Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And then verse 15 is what got me. He said, I will abundantly bless her provision.
Amen.
I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Amen.
You know, it's one thing to be blessed. It's another thing for your provision to be blessed.
Amen.
It's one thing to have provision. It's another thing to have your provision abundantly blessed.
Yes.
It's not every provision that is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a daughter that is not blessed. That's not a blessing.
Mm.
You may have a car that only gives you problems.
Mm.
You may have a hair, a type of hair.
That's one.
Like some ladies say, I don't like my stomach.
Hey.
It's your provision, but in your opinion, it's not blessed. May your provision be blessed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
You can have a job, but it's not a blessing.
Mm.
I'm just enduring it. No, instead of enduring it, you will enjoy it in,
amen,
Jesus' name. But God says, I will not just bless your provision, I will abundantly bless your provision when you worship me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. May your provision be blessed. May your shoe be blessed. May your children be blessed. May your parents be blessed. May your job be blessed. May your music be blessed. Hallelujah. So what is it that's your provision? I don't just want a shirt. I want a shirt that I would like. It's a blessing. Like my shirt. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But today, I want us to pray for a few moments. Luke chapter 22. Why are you touching my hair? My shirt. Luke chapter 22 from verse 1. Luke chapter 22 from verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him. Alex, where's your family? Sought how they might kill him. For they feared the people. You know? The devil, they want to kill you, but he's afraid. And may he be afraid forever.
Amen.
The devil wanted to kill Job, but he was afraid. Mm-hmm. Job was totally shielded. Let's keep going. But they were afraid. Now, look at how the devil got to get Jesus. And that's how the devil gets us. Get this. Then entered Satan into one of the most trusted disciples of Jesus. Judas, surname Iscariot. Mr. Judas, first name, last name Iscariot. Being of the number of the 12, not just of the number. You know, sometimes the devil attacks you from your most trusted positions. The two people among Jesus's closest affiliates that the devil entered were the most trusted, Judas and Peter. Judas kept the money, most trusted. Peter, the treasurer. Peter was the Pope. Wow. The number one priest that was selected. You will never be a Judas in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. But Satan entered. And verse 4. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. May you not be betrayed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the devil seeks to enter into you or into your most trusted possessions or into the most trusted people or your most trusted area. What you count as your stronghold. Just so that you will be rendered naked. But it will never happen in Jesus.
Amen.
Say, God forbid.
God forbid.
Now, Peter was the same thing. Bible says the devil entered Peter in Matthew chapter 16. And verse 23. Jesus had to call Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Let's start from verse 21. Think about it. From that time going forward, Jesus showed his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22. Then Peter took him to the side and began to rebuke Jesus. When your own disciple starts to rebuke you, the devil is on your case. When your own child starts to rebuke you, the devil is on the attack. When your own church member starts to rebuke you, the devil is on your case. When your own subordinate now start directing at you, I tell you, pointing a finger and accusing you and rebuking you, you must pray. Then he said, be far from thee, Lord. This shall never be unto you. Then look at this. Verse 23. And this is what I want us to address today and pray about.
Amen.
But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. You have to now know that the order, God is not the author of confusion. If the order changes, Satan is the author of confusion.
Yeah.
He has arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your most trusted Judas is now the one that comes to kiss you, to betray you. Your dearest becomes the biggest enemy. No, Satan has entered. Your most trusted disciple, Peter, now tells you, don't forget about God. Forget about your church. Satan has entered. For that savoreth, get you an offense unto me. For that savoreth not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to pray that any form by which the devil enters into our domain, we block it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
First of all, we remove the source of satanic attack from where they have entered already.
Amen.
And secondly, we block the access point. Because the Bible says that from that time on, Satan entered Judas. Rise to your feet and let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, every place that the devil has entered in this church, in our finances, in our homes, in our lives, even in our lives, wherever the devil is operating, Lord, we cleanse by the blood of Jesus. We evict, we remove, we curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, oh God, we pray that every source of satanic attack be scattered. Oh God, arise. Let your enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, oh God, just like Satan entered Judas, entered Peter, Lord, if there is any area that the devil has entered us, Lord, we deplete that place. Lord, we purge ourselves of every access of Satan, of every entry of Satan, of every activity of Satan, and we block that entry point. Lord, we block out that entry point for Satan's entry. We block it out by the blood of Jesus, by the angels of God, in the name of Jesus. Every area of our lives, whether it's our finances, whether it's our relationships, whether it's our health, whether it's our attitudes, that the devil has taken a place in, Lord, we surrender to the blood. We give it up. We bind. We extract. In the name of Jesus Christ, we purge ourselves of every aspect of satanic plan and attack. And Lord, we block every entry point right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. That thing that's a confusion to you.
Oh, yes.
It used to be your strength. You used to really put your hope, but suddenly you are hopeless. God is dealing with it now.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Get thee behind me.
Oh yes.
He used to be in front of you directing everything. Now it will be behind.
Amen.
You will be far ahead in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Now there are two types. In these two you'll find a Judas type and a Peter type. The Judas type is insidious. It's very dangerous. That is what led to Jesus' death. You know? The Judas type is the type that kisses you. It's the type that does not openly rebel.
Undercover.
Judas is insidious. It's something that is under the power of darkness.
Undercover.
Something that is in areas, the Bible says, the wickedness in high places. You know? And we want to come against that kind of insidious. That person is usually a good person. Very nice person. You know, when you look at spouses, you know, you find two types of spouses. You see some people, they will wear the same clothes and then they will come to church.
Uniform.
Beautiful, uniform. But I tell you, somebody perhaps has received slaps in the dark.
Hey.
Before they got there.
Before service.
Yeah. That's the insidious. But openly, face to face, they are not rebelling. They will kiss. But when they go away, they meet the high priest. They are discussing evil things. Those are the gossips, the backbiters, insidious, unknown. In fact, some of them smile with you.
Secretive.
Some of them are in the same job with you. Same church. Friends, best of friends. But they don't have good plans. Yes. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody went and had a party with you, then the following day he says, you know, I love you so much, I want to divorce you.
That's it.
And that was our last supper.
It's not you, it's me.
That is Judas. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he dipped his hand in the same bowl, soup. Says, the one that dips the hand with me, he's the one. Even the disciples didn't know, who are you saying would betray you? Yeah. They didn't know. And they said, you watch, the person that will dip his hand, my own familiar friend, has dug his heel against me. That's the dangerous one. That's the one that kills. Please, pray. If there is anything that is there, that is about to kill. You know, a polyp, colon cancer can kill. But it starts as a polyp, benign, they call it. But its end is cancerous. I want us to pray that anything that looks benign, but that in actual fact is dangerous, that your eye cannot see, is blindsided you, that the Lord will open your eyes.
Amen.
Will give you revelation.
Amen.
Will cause you to deal with it.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Begin to pray that first time. Father of God, deal with every insidious Judas. Deal with every insidious Judas in our lives that our eyes are not open to, that are gradually destroying us. Father, a slow death situation, a slow death situation, a benign thing that is about to kill us, we curse it, we cancel it, we rebuke it, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Every slow killer in our church, in our home, in our job, in our finances, we suck it, we oppose it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the hidden works of darkness, the secret weapons of the enemy, the disguises of Satan that we cannot recognize, that are around us to destroy us, that we are embracing. Lord, open our eyes. We curse those things right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The second type is the one that is open, that comes at you. You know that I'm sick on this side, but it's still a sickness. There are some of the things you don't know. One day somebody went to hospital. The person had been coughing for years. The wife said, go to hospital. He said, no, it's nothing. Then the person started losing weight. And then the wife said, go to hospital. Oh, it's the exercises I've been doing. Then the guy started losing appetite. The wife said, go to hospital. He said, oh, no. It's part of my exercise regimen to check my weight. Then eventually one day, he was there. He started coughing up blood.
Wow.
Then the wife didn't say go to hospital, but he went to hospital. When he went, it was cancer of the lungs.
Wow.
Throughout.
Spread.
Too late.
Metastasized.
You will never suffer that way in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say, God forbid.
God forbid.
But these things. So when the thing becomes insidious for a while, it now becomes blatant and open. Now, one of the things that is like that is pride. Bible says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit on the mount with the Most High in the sight of the north. Amen. I will be like the Most High in verse 14. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bind pride, the spirit of pride. It's insidious. It's dangerous. Pride leads to a fall. Pride weakens you. Let's bind the spirit of pride and ask for the spirit of humility.
Oh,
open your mouth. Father, we know pride. By pride that Lucifer come down. Sure. We bind the spirit of pride from our hearts. And open your mouth and pray. Pray. Don't sit down. Open your mouth and pray. Father, we bind the spirit of pride. We bind the spirit of pride in our lives. That which is trying to destroy us. All people, young people, males, females, bind the spirit of pride. It's insidious. It's a type of Judas. It's a type of Lucifer. Pride brings a fall. Father, deliver us from pride. Grant us humility that we may not fall. Grant us humility that we may not fall. Grant us humility. Deliver us. Deliver us. Deliver us from pride. Deliver us from the insidious killer of pride. That which weakens us. That which brings us down. So that, Lord, we will be strong. We will be strong. Give us strength and take away this weakness in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for humility. Thank the Lord for deliverance. Thank the Lord for power. Thank the Lord that you will not be destroyed. 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 No matter what the devil has planned for you, you will make it. You will be victorious. Thank the Lord for victory. Thank the Lord for victory. Victory over the weapons of the enemy. Victory over insidious Judas type and over the Peter open type of attack. That Lord, I'm free and delivered from the attacks of the devil. In the name of the Father,
thank you, Lord,
and of the Son,
yes,
and of the Holy Spirit.
His name.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name is more to me. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. Give him a loud shout of praise. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you humbly to serve you. We are like the Israelites in the wilderness, freed from Pharaoh and freed from Egypt. Your word says, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Here we are in your sanctuary. Help us to serve you, mighty God. Your name is omnipotent, omnipresent, the greater one. You are in us. You are in our midst. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Strengthen everyone. Maybe you be the lifter up of our heads. You be blessed because you care. We will be blessed. We'll be blessed because we care. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Faithfulness, oh Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for great faithfulness. You are a God who never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. May your miracles come through. May your salvation come through. May your power come through.
May your anointing see us through. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, I bind every work of Satan right now. Let the blood of Jesus Christ answer to every attack of the devil. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, give three people a high five. Three people a high five. Three people a high five. Tell the person, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Tell the person, you are blessed to be here. I am blessed to be sitting by you. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, wow. Awesome. Now, I want us all to pay very great attention to what I'm about to share, which may be the last portion of Living with the Innkeeper. Maybe last or last but one. It depends. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what I want you to know is that we've shared a lot about in the Innkeeper. Luke chapter 10. Let's read the passage again. Luke chapter 10 from verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Okay, from verse 28. And he said unto him, you have answered right. This do, and you shall live. Then verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered, saying, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Like our brother Kobe fell among thieves. Because he was backsliding from Jerusalem to Jericho. You know. A thief named Barbara stole his heart. And people, abuser called Rashad, stripped him of his health. That man was a big, tall beater, man. So a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And so we all understand that as unbelievers, although we are living, we're dead. That's what half dead means, okay? Half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, you know, a Christian, solid shepherd type of Christian, serious Christian, when he was also at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. It's worse when you've come to look, and then you now pass by again on the other side. Amen. Alex, where's your family? Make sure that everything is okay with them. Go and find out. Yeah. Now, and verse, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. May the Lord have compassion on us. Amen. Amen. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Took care of him. Note this, took care of him. Verse 35. And on the morrow, the following day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host or the innkeeper. New King James, I think, says to the innkeeper, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend. Yeah, New King James said he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Then the last part is also very interesting. Verse 36. So which of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the guy answered in verse 37, saying, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is a very beautiful story, usually traditionally called the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. You see, absolutely no dealings. If you look in John 4, when the Samaritan woman was talking to Jesus, he said, what have you got to do with me? I'm a Samaritan. You are a Jew. You should not be talking to me. So they had no dealings with the Jews. But you see, they don't meet. They don't mix. Now, whatever the barrier that there may be that makes you not be helpful to other people, it can actually be a problem. It can be the reason why you are judged by God as no matter your spirituality, you are not merciful. And Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And our Christian life is a life of mercy. If you don't show mercy to people, you will not obtain mercy. And mercy is what's going to take you to heaven, believe me. You see that? It's the mercy of the Lord. It's a grace and mercy. Please, let's distribute mercy in this life. Let's be merciful people in this life. No matter what it is that somebody has done to you. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. It says, leave room for mercy. Leave room for mercy. You know, clap for the Lord Jesus. Leave room for mercy. You know, so I just want you to know that this is a beautiful story of the Good Samaritan that didn't care about the fact that this is not my color, this is not my tribe, this is not my whatever it is, my type. You know, whatever it is that is separating us. This is not my age group. You know, some of us, when we see the young people or the younger people, we don't. When they see the older people, they get attitude. It's not necessary. You know, factionalism and clickings only create divisions. And you know, the devil brought division between God and us. You see, so you find anybody who brings divisions, watch that person. Bible says, mark those who cause divisions amongst you and avoid them. Yeah. Mark them. Stay away. I think it's Romans chapter 16 or something. He says, mark them who cause divisions and stay away. Avoid them. Okay. So I beseech you. Romans 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that is being taught, which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. So, you see, this story is a beautiful story of three categories of people. People abusers, people avoiders, and people helpers. See, people abusers are the guy who beats up. People avoiders are like the priest and the Levite. They came and they saw and then they walked away. You see, and last week we talked about that attitude must go out of the church. I mean, it's not a good thing at all. You know, yesterday morning somebody called me. You know, one of our brothers who has decided to join the church, man, I've been coming to the church for 3 weeks. I've decided this is a very good place to be. And I want to be in the church every week. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And he told me something that I'll never forget. He said, what can I do for the people of God in the name of the Lord? I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? He said, look, I cut hair. Can I cut people's hair for free? Wow. Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. He said, that passage that you read, I've realized that not only am I a people avoider, I'm also an abuser. Because like you cut the hair and then you put all kinds of things. Sometimes you can charge for this and you charge for that. It is abuse. Said, I'm not going to avoid people. Not only that, just like Zacchaeus. He said, everything that I've cheated people, I give it back. And then he said, and when it really touched my heart and said, I want to do it to make the people of God feel good about themselves. When you have a good haircut, you are a confident person. Yeah, you look fresh. I want them to feel good about themselves as they're serving God, that I look good for the Lord. Yeah. You know, anything that builds up somebody should be the responsibility of a Christian. So you should be able to ask yourself, what have I done to make this person's life better? Can I say something as a compliment? Some of us, our eyes, the only things we see about one another are the negative things. Never give a compliment. Even the compliments, the way you say it, you feel like giving you a slap. you know. So I want us to be real Christians. You know, Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I believe it's verse 16 or one of those verses, it says that don't just love people with words, but love them indeed. Love them for real. You see, Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Then go on. But where's the one that says, don't just love? Verse 9, thank you. Verse 9. Says, let not love, give me New Living Translation or Message Bible. See, let New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Don't just pretend. Let love not be pretense. Amen. Let love be real. If I say I love you, I really love you. No matter what you do. No acting. I'm not Denzel Washington. Yeah. Kojo Lindsay. What you see is what you get. Yeah. You know, Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Yeah. You may not like my rebuke, but that's love. When I see something wrong and I tell you, I love you, it's because I love you. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 27. Open rebuke. Don't pretend because you love them, so you can't say something. No. Open rebuke. Proverbs 27 verse 5. Open rebuke is our 27 verse 4. Is it Proverbs? Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Then verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend and profuse are the kisses of an enemy, like a Judas. You know, Judas pretended to love, but it was hatred. It was killing. That kiss was a killing kiss. Yeah. The kiss of betrayal. A kiss of death. Can you imagine? I'm coming to kill you and I'm kissing you. What a shock. Kissing is what is supposed to start a marriage. What's supposed to start? It's a form of its love. It starts something great. Doesn't kiss and kill. There are animals that when they finish mating, they kill. Is it the praying mantis? They're praying, but they are killing. Praying mantis. After mating, it kills. Yeah, the man dies. A woman kills a man just because of the mating. See, so let love be real. Let love be. I've got what I wanted. You can go now. Some of us will behave that way. After you've got your first child, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, let love be real. So the Samaritan shows us love. Real love. No pretense. No pretense. You know, sometimes some people will say something to you. You may not like it. But you see, you would rather not be the emperor's new clothes type of person. Everybody would say, your clothes are nice. But the man was naked. Naked. And the tailor who did that, the dressmaker said, look, people will see this one. You will not even see it because it's unique. He was walking around naked. People wouldn't say the truth. When somebody says the truth about you, love the person. Love the person. See, at a certain stage of our lives, people will not tell you the truth because you'll be offended. But true people, they will tell you. But you know, good. This Samaritan took the man to an inn, to the innkeeper, and said, I'll take care of everything. I don't know you, but I'll take care of you. I'll help you. I'll make sure. Jesus poured in. The Samaritan was Jesus. Poured in the oil and the wine. The blood to take away the sins. The oil to help the Christian life to go on. Gave us, the day you were born again, you were equipped with what it took. All your sins were washed away. That thing, sin that was about to kill you, that was making you half dead, was taken away. You are fully alive. You are alive unto the Lord. Christ is risen, and we are risen with him in Jesus' name. Stay alive. Stay strong. Stay in the house of the Lord. Stay a Christian. Stay spiritual. Do not let sin kill you again. Don't let the blood be wasted, brother. Don't let the blood be wasted, sister. Just because of a barber. God forbid. And the oil of the Holy Spirit comes to help us. The Holy Spirit helps us to live the Christian life. Now, there's another component. Amen. There's another component. That is the component of the innkeeper. Amen. Amen. The component of the innkeeper. So Jesus gave the spiritual of the blood and gave the oil. Then he went to the innkeeper. He took. That person was now born again from death. Put him in the church, which is the inn. Gave him to the pastor, who's the innkeeper. And equipped the pastor with what it takes to take care of the sheep. Believe me, you stick around outside church for a while, you're going to backslide big time. The devil will have you. It's not enough. Anybody that tells you that I am born again, I can do my Christianity at home, is a joker. Bible says, iron sharpens iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. So the truth is that Jesus himself knew. Jesus died and he said, I'm going. When I come back, I'll come for my own. Everybody I carried with my wine and my oil, put in there, I'll come for them. And he says, stay there till I come. So you must be in the church till Christ comes. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You should never backslide. Should never go from Jerusalem to Jericho. He said, until I come. And I will give my innkeeper what it takes. What I'm using to preach is not from me. If it was from me, you should all leave. The Bible says, it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Everything you hear from me is spiritual. Many of you, the things that the Lord says to you, to me about you, or concerning your life that I pray about, you have no idea. Amen. Amen. So it is Jesus who appoints pastors. Now, when he does that, how does the innkeeper do his job? That's what we've been discussing, and today I want to complete that. How does the innkeeper do his job? Living with the innkeeper. Tell someone, living with the innkeeper.
Living with the innkeeper.
Yeah. Since I got born again, I've lived with an innkeeper. I've lived with my pastor. I've related everything. When I'm traveling, sometimes it's even wondering, Coach, are you again? I was going to write an exam. I called, man, pastor, you got to pray for me for the exam. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessed walk. Do you know why? Because I know that what it takes was given to him by the Lord for me. Specifically for me. Said, take care of him. Specific. Named, the anointing on the pastor is customized to the church members. Customized. Custom made. Oh, I thought you would clap your hands for what a blessing. And whatever more that you spend, when I come, I will repay you. Pastor's greatest rewards will come when Christ comes. So, number one, you know, I told you the last time that number one way that the pastor works is through prayer. Because prayer is spiritual. Okay, it's a very spiritual thing. Now, so we told you about the reality that in Matthew chapter 16, from verse number 18, Matthew chapter 16, from verse number 8, the Bible says that, and I say unto you, that's speaking to Peter. You are Peter. Peter is the first pastor that Jesus made. Did you know that? Let me show you John chapter 21, from verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. And when they had done, Jesus was about to die. I mean, Jesus had died, resurrected, and come back. And he realized, look, there is some important decisions and arrangements I need to make, a will I need to write before I leave. These were one of his last words after he resurrected. Said, go into the world and make disciples. But he also told Peter something. One of the last words said, when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? A pastor must love God more than even the sheep. Of course. If you have a mother who loves the children more than the father, that's a bad mother. I'll tell you, it's a mistake. If you have a father who loves the children more than the mother, that's a terrible father. The children draw their strength from the unity and the love that you demonstrate. Like the church members will draw their strength from my relationship with God. If I love them so much that my love for God has a problem, you will not be good Christians. Yes. If I love you so much that I don't want to offend you, so I don't speak the word of God, I speak what you like. When children make you say what they like, they have become friends, not children. And you've stopped being a parent. You are a child. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's true. I tell my children, you're not my friends. I'm friendly with them, but I'm their father. Oh, yeah. I'm very close to church members, but I'm their pastor. I know who I am. And I will never trade my pastoral work for the friendship such that you lose out on the pastoral work. No. So Jesus said, then if you love me, then feed my lambs. That word feed is a word poimano. It also means bosco. It means defend them. Take care of them. Jesus Christ told the innkeeper, take care of them till I come. That's the word. He told Peter, do it. He did it 3 times to verse 18. Each of them, last interview, last word. I'm speaking to you 3 times. Take care of them. That's how they were selected. It's out of love. Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors after my heart who love you, who will feed you. That word over there, feed, is also the same thing for Emmanuel. Take care of you, nurture you, raise you with knowledge and understanding. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I think that God really loves us. When you see congregation, they are an expression of God's love. When you see a pastor, the day you lose a pastor, you've lost God's love. He said, because I love you, I'll give men for you. And I'll give people for your life. Because I love you. Isaiah 40, he told them, it's because I love you and you are precious to me. 43 verse 4 of Isaiah. You are precious. Therefore, I'll give people for you. I'll give people for you. Hallelujah. So, a pastor is God's love. You see, he, out of love, compassion, and mercy, he carried that wounded person. Some of us are wounded to the church, to the innkeeper. Wonderful. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is an expression of love. So, how does the innkeeper do his job? Number one, through prayer. Prayer for the sheep. Prayer for the sheep. That's how I do my job. I'm explaining to you what my role is so that you can make demands on the innkeeper. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When you're in a hotel and it's been paid for in full, you better eat everything you can. You better really draw room service. There's no reason why you should not call me and say, Pastor, I need you here now. You heard the call, Spencer. How long will it be? 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I've been visiting some of you. 3 seconds, I'm there. Yeah, this week I've been visiting some of you. Yeah. That's your right. Don't lose it. You are entitled to it. And he said, like I told you, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says over there that because you are Peter, I will build upon you. Peter, I will build my church. Upon you as the rock, I will build my church. Look, there is no church without a pastor. A pastor is the one who arrives and around him forms a church. One of our church pastors, our churches, a pastor walked away because he's angry. He said, I will not do this church anymore. And the congregation followed him in rebellion to the overseer. So they put up a church over there somewhere, rented a hotel, bought instruments, and called the pastor, leave the Lighthouse Church, come and pastor us here. So the pastor also went, following week. And they went to the hotel, everything, instruments ready, because there were some rich people in the church who had decided, we don't want to be told what to do. We want to tell the pastors what to do. So they set it up, and they invited the pastor. And foolishly, he also went. So the first day they finished, everybody was happy. When they finished, they took the offering and then said the wife should oversee the offering and go and bank the offering as it is done in Lighthouse. And people say, no. This is not Lighthouse. Here we count the offering, we bank it, and we give you some. And he said, where did you learn that? And he said, no, we've started the church. We brought you in. Any church that is the one that chooses the pastor is not called. Through interview, employed. It's an employment. Pastoral work is not an employment. If you get somebody who comes in, it's called a hireling, not a shepherd. In John 10, it's called a hireling. If I do this thing for money, I am doing it as an employee. I should. It's not. All our pastors, they don't do it for money. The Catholics don't do it for money. They are taken care of. But it's not a salary. Pastoral work will never be an employment. If ever it becomes an employment, run from that church. I know in Nigeria, they set up churches. Sometimes, I was Pastor Daniel who was sharing some of this thing with me. And then they told them, tell them what they should preach and everything. It's a businessman who owns the church. It's also in Ghana. Set up the church, and then they call you, come, I'll pay you this every month. This is the type of message I want you to preach. Wrong place. So I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then Matthew chapter 16:19, it says, and I will give you, Jesus said, I'll give you the key, 19, I'll give you the key to the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He told Peter, I give you authority. The only authority you have is through prayer. Access to the kingdom. The things that you need to take care of the church is not from this earth. It's from heaven. You can only access it through prayer. Clap for the Lord Jesus. God gave Peter access. Peter stands for the pastor. Give spiritual access, spiritual authority. So prayer is such a powerful thing when it comes to a pastor. That's a spiritual work. It connects you to heaven. That is why the Bible says in the book of James chapter 5 verse 14, says, is any sick among you? I'm talking New Testament. Is any sick among you? Let them call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. What a powerful grace that God gave you. Just because God knows one day you'll be sick. One day you need prayer. One day you need to be prayed for about your exam. One day you need prayer before your interview. One day you need prayer because something is not going well. Is any sick? Is anything not well? Is not anything not sitting in the right place? Is it financial sickness? Is it marital sickness? Is it spiritual sickness? Is it physical sickness? Let them call the elders. When I was going to write the exam, I was preparation sick. I called my pastor. Yeah. He said, Kujo, your pastor is asleep. I said, then text the prayer. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And he texted and I did well. Let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Do you think these people can't pray for themselves? But he said, let them call the elders of the church. And not just elders, as in older people, of the church. Then verse 15, look at the result. And that prayer of faith will save that sick. Something is about to save you in Jesus' name. And the Lord himself shall raise him. And that pastor has no power. But his prayer causes the Lord to raise you. God is about to raise you, somebody. Oh, I thought you would clap for the Lord. It's called the prayer of faith. Do you know why it's called the prayer of faith? Because you believed. It's only for those who believe. When I pray and you don't believe, it's not the prayer of faith. If you are the one who calls for the prayer, let him call the elders. And because of faith, you call, it becomes a prayer of faith. It's not a prayer of a joke. It's not a joke anymore. It's prayer of faith. And when the prayer of faith comes, it will save the sick. Save means he saved the situation. And the Lord now will act. The pastor has no power to do anything. It's the Lord who has the power. He's there as a representative to access you to the source of power, God himself. Never worship a pastor.
Some pastors are too powerful, it becomes a problem. But no, on the other hand, sometimes the power is because of your faith. If you don't have faith, you'll never see any power in any pastor, and you'll never get anything. The Lord himself shall raise him up. Faith people are people who are raised. He said, I will make you above only and not beneath. And if he's committed sins, even they shall be forgiven him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Only God forgives sins, and pastors can cause that to happen. In case you didn't understand, the devil will make you, sometimes the pastor is talking about me, the pastor is doing it. He is just depriving you of the power of God. Can you imagine being in a hotel where you don't want to relate with any of the hotel workers? You'll never eat. You'll never eat. Your bed will always be dirty. The room will be smelly. Yeah. Okay? That's what it is. That's what it is. And if you don't understand it, then you miss it. The prayer of a pastor is powerful. Bible says that Matthew chapter 10 from verse 40, when the disciples were sent out, they said, no, don't worry. When you go, those who receive you, he that receives you, O disciple Peter, has received me, Jesus. And he that receives me, Jesus, has received God who sent me. Then he goes on to say, so any pastor you receive, you are the one who is blessed. You reject, you are cursed. Some of us, the church is our church, but the pastor is not our pastor. You are not blessed. You are not blessed. Me, I have downplayed the institution and I've upregulated the anointing that brought the institution to be. This is an address. But the anointing makes it a spiritual place. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Then verse 41, Matthew 10, 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, that means sent from God, shall receive a prophet's reward. But if you receive the pastor as just a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. A righteous man is a brother. A prophet is somebody sent from God. Yeah, custom made. There's a scripture in Matthew, I believe, verse chapter, Alex, I shared with you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 or something, says that, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, find it for me. This one is Matthew 24, 37 or something. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, find it. You who killed your prophets and stoned those who sent you. But find it for me. But as I go on. So that's very important, okay? But we'll get there. So, ladies and gentlemen, believe it. Bible says, pastors, they watch for your souls. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. He said that, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them because they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Do you know I must give account for you? As they that must give account so that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that I'm profitable to you. So I give account of you. Yeah. Why is this person not in church? Why is this person not at the prayer meeting? Why is this person suffering? Why is this person? One person told me, Pastor, I was sick and nobody visited me. I've decided to leave the church. And I said, I visited you. My wife visited you. Your shepherd visited you. Your shepherd's child visited you. He said, no, the other people. Listen, please, make things easy for me. Some of you should wonder, where is the person that's sitting here? Maybe the person is sick, and then you take a phone and you call. You don't just beat them, you call them. No, seriously, it's also sad that you're in the church. Can you imagine? Okay, pastor came and visited, lady pastor came, and then your shepherd came. But none of the friends you were with in the choir, or you're not in the choir, I don't know where you are. But none of the people in the communion stars ever. Yeah. One day somebody told me, nobody on the platform ever called me. when my mother died. And at the point, I told the person, look, you are grown up, respect yourself and stop saying that. But I also took note. Amen. So they watch for your souls. The pastors watch. They are keeping watch. Prayer is a watch. Watch and pray. Yeah. Sometimes when you get into situations, you can't pray. But somebody can pray for you. It's a watch. It's a protection. It's a preservation. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's a defense. At least twice every week, I mention your name specifically. That's why you must make sure your name is on the church list. When you finish, go and check. Is my name there? Number two, visitation. Visitation. Pastor does his work through prayer, through visitation. There's nothing wrong saying, Pastor, please. One time I was praying for somebody. The pastor said, no, use anointing oil to pray for me. I said, yes, madam. Oh, yeah. I quickly went and brought anointing oil. And I did. Because you are the manager of the inn, so they can't tell you what they want. Room service demands a demand.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes.
I did. According to your faith. It's a prayer of faith. Say that, let them pray and let them anoint him with oil. And the prayer, and the Lord will save the sick. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise the person from the dead bed. Wow. Number two, visitation. Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2. The Bible says, oh, Jeremiah 23. All this while I said Jeremiah 23, you are still enjoying it. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures. Woe, somebody say woe. Wow. The pastors are being threatened. That because of something, the sheep are destroyed. Without that thing, the sheep are destroyed and they are scattered. The power of visitation. What is that thing? Verse 2. Reason. Therefore say the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my sheep. They just like preaching. They are preachers, but they are not pastors. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. How? And have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you upon you, the evil of your doings. What is the evil of your doings? To not chase the sheep and to visit them and to bring them in, to cause them to scatter, is a problem. So I'm on a mission to visit and to... I'm going to call some of you to come and visit with me. Say, where is this person? Where is this person? Yeah. Visited them. God is against pastors who don't visit, who like just preaching. I like preaching. But I want to like visitation as well. And I will like visiting you. That's why last week I said, everybody write. Some of you wrote just your name. You didn't write the day or the time. You are rejecting the visit. No problem. It's no longer on my head. Good. I'm serious. Ladies and gentlemen, a visit is a love thing. When God loved the world, he gave a visitation of Jesus Christ. He brought his representative to visit us. Yeah. When God's representative visits you in your home, blessing has come. How do I know? When he sent them two by two, Matthew 10 and Luke 10, he said, when you go and they receive you, leave the peace of God. If they don't receive you, shake the dust. And Bible says, because it will be worse for them than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I would never like to shake my foot against anybody. God forbid. You will only have peace in your home. You will only have peace in your home in Jesus' name. Yeah. Jesus visited and he changed everything. Changed everything. Okay? Changed everything. Therefore, let visitation be an important thing. And you know, when visits are coming, don't make it about food and about decorations. Tell you struggle too much. And he said, come, as it is. If your house is not properly clean and things, I'm not a health inspector. Eh? I'm not from Memphis, whatever. Housing authority. Yeah. And I'm not a physician coming there to come and examine you where you need a sofa. It's your body that needs a sofa. Your soul doesn't need a sofa. Amen.
Because there was this visit that was nearly bringing trouble to Jesus. Luke 10:38-42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Visitation should start with welcome. You must welcome. The pastor must feel welcomed. Must feel at home. And what do you want to come and do in my house? You want to come and spy on me so that I can see whether I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? That doesn't matter. If you don't want me to see, let the boyfriend go away before I come. That's why I will inform you before. It's okay. Prepare. No, it doesn't matter. Be at your best. It's the visit that matters, not who is with you or who is not with you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted, New King James, with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about too many things. But one thing is necessary or needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. When a pastor visits, it's not about the food. Martha cared about the food. Martha cared about serving. Cared about it's about the word. It's about the interaction. Therefore, no need to prepare food. Please, I am not coming to eat food. It will make the visit too complex and too expensive. That's why you say no. Come next week. Come next so that I'll prepare. You're tired already. It has nothing to do with food. Don't be a Martha. What is necessary that is coming to you is the word. Is an interaction, is a spiritual impartation, and it will bless you in Jesus' name. It will never be taken away from you, but the food will become poo-poo. Sometimes you're so busy serving, by the time we finish, you didn't hear anything, we go away. Number three, counseling. Prayer, visitation, counseling. Counseling. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:14, where no counseling is, or where there is no counseling, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Hallelujah. You see, many problems can be resolved through counseling. There is always a way. There is always a way. You know, many people don't like being told or being asking. Listen, counsel can come in two forms. This counseling can come in the form of preaching. That's called indirect counseling. As I'm speaking, some of you, even the way to relate with people, how to love, how to relate, how to parent, how to treat your parents, you get it through teaching. It's part of the job of a pastor to direct you based on the word of God. It's called preaching. That is very important. And then there's direct counseling, where now you sit down, Pastor, I have this issue, like Devonia. Look, you want to talk about this area relating to my marriage. What do you think about this? And then we talk. That is one-to-one. Intimate counseling, one-on-one. Listen, the fact that you ask somebody, what do you think, does not make you a fool. It makes you smart. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It makes you smart. That there could be another option that I'm not thinking about. It makes you smart and safe. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What do you think? I'm not dumb. By this time, I know a thing or two. But I always ask, what do you think? What do you think? It's almost become like a comment. Let me call Apostle Joel. Let me call Bishop. It's a borrowing of, in fact, it's access to another brain which you didn't have. Another view. Sometimes you're looking at a thing, you think it is. Do you know, I was shocked that even the colors we see, you may say it's blue, but it's not blue in somebody's eyes. Yeah. Where I work, my church, they brought a picture. I said blue. They said brown. I tell you. Other people said blue. Other people said brown. I said, hey, same picture. Ladies and gentlemen, counseling is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23. No, Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in man. I mean, the way of man is not in himself. And it goes on. It is not in man that is walking to direct his own steps. Can you believe it? Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. The way of man is not in himself. What you need to do is not in yourself. It is not in the man who is walking to direct his own steps. As you're going confidently like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. You need counseling. It's just like the husband who is sitting, driving, and then the wife is standing there. You are, look, you are going the wrong way. You are going the wrong way. And then the husband is, you are going the wrong way. And then the husband says, I know what I'm doing. But he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know. Most men who say, I know what, they don't know. They're just too proud to acknowledge that I am going the wrong way. And especially the wife who says it, but sometimes to please wives, try and be gentle at the way you speak it. The man is lost, but he's going, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. We're supposed to be going to Arkansas. Now we've seen that we are in Nashville, and you are still going. We are going towards Atlanta, and you are still going. By the time you realize we are in North Carolina, and you still say, I know where I'm going. Come on now. It's not smart to say, what do you think? Are we lost? What do you think? Are we in the right direction? It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When you get the word of God, you have gotten superior direction. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way. The word is the way. The word is the way. It gives direction. Bible says the word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. A light means it gives you general direction. Lamp means it gives you step by step. General direction, like honor your father and mother. Specific, how to. Honor, general. Husband, love your wife. Specific, how? Give. Cherish, nourish. All those things are there. It is not in man. Believe me, most of us, we make decisions out of trial and error. And that's what we call experience. Experience, they say, is the best teacher. You are wrong. What good teacher is the best teacher, but its prices are too high and his lessons are too late. I've already made the mistake. Why? How can it be a good teacher? You fail the exam and then they bring you the answers. What's the use? I failed. That is why old people, they call them wisdom. It's not wisdom necessarily. They have experience. But it's too late. So they can tell the young people what to do. But unfortunately, the young people who need the wisdom, they don't want it. So what's the use? So wisdom is almost useless. Oh, yeah. Most wisdom is useless. Because the old people who have it don't need it anymore. They made their mistakes already. I married the wrong person already. I brought my children wrong anyway. Now I know the right way to do it. But my children won't listen. So what's the use? What's the use? Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Sometimes I cry when I'm telling somebody, this is the way to go. Walk in it. You're making a mistake. You're wrong. I come home and I tell my wife, please, can you find another way? Talk to another church member to talk to this person. They are about to destroy themselves. Now. So I go on my knees. I say, Lord, take control. You direct them. I cry for many of you when I see how wrong you are. Because I know what is right. I've seen your kind. I've seen your type. I've seen where they ended. There's a way that seemed right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death and destruction. You don't have to be there. Take counsel. Bible says it's better to be a child. A what? A whatever and a wise child. A young and a wise child. Than to be an old and foolish king who can no longer be advised or admonished. It's better to be a child, to be humble, to receive. To be an old and foolish king. I'm in charge. I have authority. I'm big. That's a king. But you're being foolish. Because you can no longer be admonished. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king that can no longer be admonished. Preaching is counseling. One-to-one is counseling, direct. That's the role of the pastor. Not that he knows everything, but God knows everything. You should never come to a counseling session and not expect the Bible to be open. If I don't use scriptures, run. Don't tell me like some church members tell me, Pastor, I brought my issue. Why are you opening the Bible? A church member told me that. What about my issues? What about my feelings? With the Bible. You're only bringing the Bible. Because you know, I don't know the scriptures. I said, but you came to a pastor. If you went to the law court, they would bring the constitution. And you would not say no because you don't know the constitution. If you don't know the Bible and I'm telling you, why are you saying no? Because it is spiritual, right? Carry on. There's nothing wrong saying I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Every time you make a decision, think I could be wrong and seek counsel. In the multitude of counseling, there's safety. Bible says without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You may have a purpose, but you'll be disappointed that it will not come to pass because you didn't get counsel. Yeah. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Find it. You have a purpose. I want to become this in my career. I want to be without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Proverbs 15:22. I want to be this. I want to be this. But it's not happening. I want to have a happy marriage. It's not because you refuse counsel. I want to prosper, but you won't take counsel because you refuse counsel. Purposes are disappointed. It's so practical. It's so practical. I can see the way you are talking to this person. This is where it's going to end. You're going to be fired. You're going to be divorced. You're going to be cursed. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. Come on now. If you carry on this way, the child will be like this. If you carry on this way, this is where it's going to end. And then when it happens, say, Pastor, you cursed me. No, I didn't curse you. You didn't listen. Somebody is smiling at me. One person came to me and told me, you play soccer at this time. I said, look, stop playing this. You'll break your leg one day. You know, these people, there are no rules there, and there's nothing. So stop. I mean, you have better things to do. You go, you're tired, you can't do this. Your wife is complaining about this. Stop it before you break your leg. The person broke their leg. They said, Pastor, the curse has come to pass. I said, what curse? He said, my leg is broken. Oh, do you remember? You told me to... I said, I didn't curse you. He said, no, I remember. Your words are right. It's not, I counseled you. When somebody said, don't be silly. It's not an insult. It's counsel. It's counsel. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Finally, the last way that they... Should I talk about it or should we make it next week? The last thing, way that the pastor or the innkeeper operates is through interaction. So we call it prayer, visitation, counseling, interaction. Hallelujah. Amen. Interaction. Yeah. You know, this counseling is so... One day I was there, and then I think it was Apostle Joel, and then we're there, and somebody came through counseling, said, you know, Pastor, I have two people that I need to marry. You know, one person is very nice. I really like the way that they does their hair. She's all this. She's exciting. She's fresh. You know, she dresses well. She knows how to pick colors and all that. But she's not a believer. You know, but I think that she knows God, but is not. And then he said, oh, her attitude sometimes and the way she talks, the way she relates with the mother, you know, I can see that. The way she relates to the father, the way she talks to the father, I can see that you talk to me like that. But the other one, she's very good, very respectful, proper believer, always understanding. But she's not fresh. She's not exciting.
She's plain.
Yeah, she's plain. I mean, she doesn't... Her dressing and, you know, she's not... Chemistry. So, you know, Apostle Joel said, so my brother, what you are asking is you want one has you have a confusion between longevity and style. You are choosing between longevity and style. One has style, exciting, but will not last long. One has longevity because it takes, you live at a certain point. Bible says beauty is vain, charm is deceitful. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall continually be praised. He said, look, so that's the choice you have to make. Do you want longevity or do you want style? The guy said, longevity. He said, then choose the lady who has the proper attitude. Because you will live with this attitude, it will never change. But you give birth one. All the style, they will even forget how to comb their hair. When they have a baby, the extraction and all that. And you can teach this proper woman how you can style you can put on a longevity, but you can't put longevity on style. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That is counsel. By the way, that's how I chose my wife. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's counsel. And finally, when you have a pastor, you have a resource. You know, so have you ever wondered, how come this man is so wise? He's not that great. It's because of what God has put inside of him. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The day God puts you here, by the grace of God, if you allow, he will put that thing. He will upload that kind of wisdom. Amen. So when I'm preaching and you are that impressed, wow, this guy is so deep. It's for you. Amen. It's for you. Yeah. All the wisdom is for you. Then finally, interaction. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The pastor must interact. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The pastor must be with the people. A pastor must smell of the sheep. A pastor must have grass on his body. Must be somebody. I should not be an executive pastor that stands here with my suit and I can't interact. I should be able to relate with the little and with the old. And I do. I do. When you see me talking with Mama Mercy, you think that we are beloveds. But she's 80 something. Mama Mercy, how old are you? 85. Yeah, look at this girl. Come, Mama Mercy. Look at Mama Mercy. Look at this girl. Look at this girl. This is longevity. I mean, as I relate, you can see that I know how to relate with 85. I know how to relate with 85. She beloved. She can be my beloved too. Because I know how to relate with 85. But I should be able to also be able to relate with Esther. Come. That she should also be like my beloved. That, oh, and goodness, you come and join. As I walk, I should be able to go around and say, these are my children. These are my girls. As I'm walking, and I'm walking, you can see that I can relate with young people. Goodness, come. I can relate to you. When they are dancing, and then I see, and I can sit and dance and move. And that's interaction. I should be able to go to Save Church and come to, what's the other one? The other one. QFC, you are blessed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That should be interaction. I should be familiar with the exams. I talk to them about the exams. Social media. I have had to learn all these things. Now, all these Instagram and things that I know, it's because of them. Interaction. So I can interact with them and talk about them. About these things. Ladies and gentlemen, interaction is very important. Jesus fed the 5,000. He said, all of you sit down. And he went and fed them, did miracles. Interacted with them. A pastor is not a chief executive. It's the people's man. It's the people's people. Yeah. That's why I stand out there. I shake your hand. I know your names. I know your names one by one by one by one. Your children's names. Your children are my children. I carry them. I used not to carry babies. One person told me, this lady actually brought the baby. Pastor, take this baby. You've never carried my baby before. I said, from that day I changed. I started carrying babies. Yes. Bible says Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 11, said, he came to his own, and his own knew him not. But as many as received him, verse 12, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Power into a pastor comes through interaction. As they relate with you, they get to know you. And that interaction is very healthy for the sheep. Yeah. Bonding is an important thing. Babies need bonding. So don't shy away from the interaction. Some of you have made yourself distant. One pastor is here, you are there. When he's there, you are here. Wrong move! Wrong move. Because you are afraid they will detect disease. Disease is normal for sheep. Yeah. When I get close to Bishop, he always finds something that I should do right. When I get close to Apostle, he always tells me something I should do. There's nothing wrong. It's not judgment, it's help. Bible says, we are helpers of your joy. Where is that scripture? I think 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. We are not domineers of your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. 2 Corinthians 1, 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but rather we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Pastors help your joy. Help you to be happier. Help you to be better. Help you to do well. Help you to stand. Thank you. Preach. And then finally, the Bible says he came to his own received him not. Those who received him are the ones who got power. Then verse 14, he said, and the word, Jesus, became flesh. He made himself like everybody, and he dwelt among them, us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. There's a certain glory that comes to you, a certain way of thinking that only comes because you've interacted with a pastor. And it only happens when he dwells. He relates well, or you allow him to relate well with you. Gives you an input. Jesus, that's why I call it personal savior, that he lives inside of us, deep interaction. I'm not talking, don't get me wrong, we're not talking about interaction, I have to hug you and kiss you. No, see, I'm married. That's not what I'm talking about. But this interaction is close, becoming relatable, becoming somebody who is not a distant something. Do you know that sheep that is killed are the ones that are far? The wolf catches them faster. The ones that are close to the shepherd is even afraid to come. Because of the rod and the staff will comfort you. The rod and the staff. Begin to interact with your pastor. You don't like male pastors, we have female pastor here, lady pastor here. You don't like me and lady pastor, Pastor Daniel is here. Yeah, you like people with bald hair, he's also there. Yeah. You like younger pastors, we have younger pastors there. Now we have even Daniel as one of the young pastors. And then the shepherds that follow. You know, shepherds are there. Sister Devonia, Brother Spencer, all of them, Brother Cyrus, they're all there. We've made them access, given you access to them. Amen. They'll be there in 3 seconds. They will come and visit you. They'll be interacting with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to present to you your inn with your innkeeper. Ladies and gentlemen, now, I reintroduce myself, your innkeeper that Jesus gave you. Whatever it is that you've fallen short of, Bible says we are helpers of your joy. Connect again. Connect again and see the difference and see the blessing of the Lord come. Everything that Jesus had for you, the day you got born again, he has put inside a man of God. You will never become a certain quality of Christian without that. Bible says, believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. May you prosper. May you prosper. May you prosper in everything that you do. May the prosperity that comes through God's representative pastors come to you in Jesus' name. Put your hands together. Rise to your feet. Wow, what a series. What a word. I love this. Living with the innkeeper.
It's a good life.
We
believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.